Carol Strickland. I have been fascinated with the unknown and paranormal realms since childhood. After a profound experience with my grandmother's spirit 20 years ago, I have been on a quest to observe, study, investigate, and communicate with the afterlife and beyond. It's been an ongoing journey of exploration and discovery, one that has taught me how mortality and the spirit world are forever bonded through the veils of time. Welcome, everyone, tonight for another episode of the Afterlife Chronicles right here on the WLTKDB Network. I'm your host, Nicole Strickland. And, of course, joining us tonight is Renee Rodriguez, host of Realm of Darkness and The Secrets Within. So I'm really happy to have her. So, of course, this show is going to be a discussion type of show where it's all about the Heaven's Gate cult, which we'll get into in a little bit. If you haven't followed us yet on our socials, pretty much anywhere with that handle WLTKDB will get you to our social media channels. You can follow the Afterlife Chronicles on its Facebook page at Afterlife Chronicles and Beyond, and of course on the Podbean page, afterlifechronicles.podbean.com. So before we get into tonight's show, just a few announcements as always. A recap of Realm of Darkness with Renee and Ashley that came on right before mine. That was such a fascinating show. The Alaskan Avenger, if you missed it, it will be archived for you. And of course, you know I'm going to mention it, okay? Oscars 2022, you know I'm going to mention it. It's all over the place. I won't spend too much time on it, but I do want to reiterate Denzel Washington's quote because I think that this is a reminder for all of us. He said, "At your highest moment, be careful. That's when the devil comes for you." So reflect on that. Very good advice. And kind of going more into a tragic sort of scenario, we all know about the 14-year-old boy who sadly fell into the arms of the angels at Orlando's Icon Park on March 24th. And so may his light shine or continue to shine in all of us. And I'd like to offer, I would say offer a couple seconds of silence in his memory at this time. Okay. Tragedy. That should not have happened at all. No. So, I can't with it. So we're going to move on. So Heaven's Gate, the cult, the famous cult, the cults of cult. I guess there's a documentary on it now too, I think Netflix. I think it's called Heaven's Gate, the Cult of Cults.
Did you watch
that?
I was going to, but then there's so much on it online. So I got so wrapped up in like interviews and everything else that I was like, I don't know, but it's something I'll get to.
There, you can still find Marshall Herf Applewhite, the leader of the cult. You can still find a lot of his videos and his teachings and some of the I guess there were about 38 or 39 members left in the cult living in this mansion in Rancho Santa Fe at 182. Well, the address has changed. It was 18241 Colina Norte, and now it's Paseo Victoria. I've actually been to the location. Now, I went probably a couple of years ago. Now, there's a new, they had to tear the old house down. It was like a 9,000 square foot mansion. And they tore it down. And so there's a new house there. But I decided to drive by, but I was very discreet because I didn't want people like, you know, like, okay, what's she doing? And I had the weirdest experience. Now, I don't know if this was just maybe power of suggestion, but when I pulled up to the entrance gate and I was only there for maybe a minute, I kind of acted like I was lost, you know, just so I wasn't like, you know, like, okay, what's she doing? So, I had this weird sensation that I couldn't breathe, like almost like I was suffocating. So I don't, you know, to this day, I'm like, I don't know if that was just, you know, my mind wandering or if it was something maybe that I was tapping into. So, I mean, they committed suicide in shifts. starting, I think, on like the 21st or 22nd. And then, of course, their bodies were found in the home on March 26, 1997. Where were you on that day when that happened?
Oh, my gosh. I was little on that day. I mean, I was like little, you know, like really, really little. But I remember like there was this thing on TV. And I remember watching it with my grandma. Like, you know, because I was little at that time. So I was like, I don't really understand. I didn't understand it. Like, I knew that there was like this comet that was coming. And I think in itself fascinated me more than anything else. Because I can't remember how old I was in 1997. Now I don't want to give my age away.
No, it's okay. I was actually a senior in high school. And I mean, this occurred in San Diego. So, mm-hmm. I mean, obviously the news would be greater here, but it was pretty much all we could talk about for weeks. It just, and as tragic as it was so like unfathomable. And in a way it was so weird and so strange how it all, you know, happened. And I mean, there's so much to know about this cult. I mean, I just have the nuts and bolts. So if you fill in as if I'm missing something, but it all started when Marshall Herf Applewhite, he felt that he was the second, now this is according to him, mm-hmm. he felt that he was the second coming of Jesus Christ. And when you read about him, he was a normal man. He was in the United States Army. He attended the University of St. Thomas, I guess, majoring in music, very talented. He was a talented singer. He had mm-hmm. a teaching position there, but then he was let go because he had a sexual affair with a male student. So I think he had some issues coming out. Maybe he was gay. I don't know.
Well, but, and that kind of leads into that whole other thing, though, too. But I understand what you're saying. Like, I thought about that myself. Again, like, that'll come. But I've thought about that because I'm like, I'm wondering, like, how long he's had that going on where mm-hmm. maybe that in itself, there's nothing wrong with it. I'm just saying, like, go ahead. Because now, like, I'm going through.
Yeah, I mean, there's so much psychology behind this, and it's just, he was so charismatic, and I think that's one of the reasons that attracted people, but yet I think he had schizophrenia and almost had a mm-hmm. psychotic break at many points. I mean, it was just crazy. And then he met Bonnie Lou Truesdale, if I'm pronouncing her last name right, mm-hmm. Nettles. So she was a nurse at the psychiatric facility that he voluntarily committed himself into. And so then the two thought that they were, you know, two peas in a pod, that they were soulmates, and they felt that they had divine talents. And that's when they started to commence their study group known as the Christian Arts Center, mixed philosophy of the Bible, theosophy, ufology, astrology, science fiction, all this stuff. And they just really felt that they were called from the kingdom of heaven to come down here. Like, it just, mm-hmm. it's so baffling, like how they even attract people to come to the cult. So a lot of people are like, well, what were their beliefs? So they felt that so they could travel to heaven, the kingdom of heaven, or the next level after transforming into immortal alien species by discarding their human elements. So they felt that they were sent from beyond to fulfill the same mission as Jesus. They felt that Jesus was an extraterrestrial who died and came back in a spaceship. Now, really? Now, what? I mean,
I don't want to laugh, okay? Because
no, I mean, either, but.
Okay, because I'm going to, and like I told you before, I went on the website. Okay.
Yeah, it's still there, by the way.
It's still there. Okay.
Heavensgate.com.
Yes. And I did email the website. I will put it out there. I did. In a creepy way, I really want a response. I'm not really sure why. But when I was going through all of it, they had all these Bible verses in there. And I thought, this isn't making any sense, like, ever. And like, even like the whole like videos I watched of him, like, he is a very intriguing person. Like,
yes,
like, you can't take your eyes off of him.
No, I know. Even to the most normal person.
No, it's like, at one point I was like, am I under hypnosis? Because I really didn't think that for a second. I'm like, oh no, like I'm not gonna snap out of this. Like it's a joking matter, but it was like that.
I mean, these people, I mean, you know, and I'm trying to be respectful, you know, mm-hmm. as respectful as I can, but they felt that they were very old extraterrestrials mm-hmm. who reincarnated into human bodies as a way to harvest souls. Now that's their quote, to help mm-hmm. fulfill their mission. So they felt, he felt, Applewhite felt that Earth was recycling and that it was going to go through some sort of apocalypse.
Right.
And so that's why they needed to leave. And of course, they found they had to seek a certain time when to leave. And that time was when the Hale-Bopp comet, which in the Northern Hemisphere could be detected in the year 1997. Mm-hmm. They felt, all right, that's our marker. You know, so Bonnie and Apple, Bonnie and Marshall were their names, of course, but they went by Bo and Peep, I think Guinea and Pig, and then finally T. Bonnie was T, and Applewhite was Doe. Mm-hmm. So when the comet came around, the Hale-Bopp comet, he felt that T was coming to get them, to take them in the spaceship that would take them to the next level or the kingdom above heaven. Those were his beliefs.
No, the only thing, the whole space shuttle thing in itself, right. And like that whole UFO thing. And then when he was talking about, oh, it's just, you know, it's the Earth is just resetting. Like it's not ending, right. It's resetting. Mm-hmm. And I thought, but you guys were the chosen ones, but the rest of us, we weren't the chosen ones. We're just right. going to be here to reset. Like
recruit. Yeah, he even tried to recruit and said, I think the recruitment said, and he did several videos of this, I would say shortly before the mass suicide. And he said, this is your last chance to exit Earth or whatever it was. It was almost some megalomania going on. They felt, so T and Doe felt that they were the two from the Book of Revelations. Mm-hmm. Especially the two that were murdered rose again and then, you know, went up into a spaceship. It's crazy. The followers were given names ending in O-D-Y.
Yep.
He wanted them to be androgynous. So no female, no male characteristics, very, you know, the haircuts mm-hmm. were the same, small. And so it was weird how back in the 70s, this whole cult developed. And so then they started to amass followers. I think at one time there was like 70 followers, and they mm-hmm. would travel to like California and Oregon and all these different places. And they would, when they were really struggling monetarily, they would give blood to make money. Mm-hmm. They at one point only ate bread, but then on, they were making something like $400,000 a year. So then that's when they put that ad in USA Today to try to recruit new members.
Well, it was because I did read something where they actually were the only ones, and quote me if I'm wrong on this, because I looked into this and they did say that they were the only ones that actually went through the internet to try to find new members. If I'm not mistaken,
that would make sense.
Because, like I said, they still have a website up.
They do.
They do. And anybody could find it. It's very mm-hmm. easy to find.
Heavensgate.com.
There's so much, like, so much information. Like, you could just click and click. And, it'll just have your head spinning. Like I said. So, again, they did. They went online. They started recruiting people online as well. And I mean, like I said, the website is fascinating. If anybody wants
it really
to
is
know.
Fascinating. And I actually, in one of the videos, when the police entered the home on March 26, 1997, they noticed that on their website, on the homepage, that same flashing, and that's still there to this day, mm-hmm. which is so odd. I mean, and you said you emailed them, right? So apparently there's still two people running it.
From what I understood, there is two people that had to stay here, okay, after the suicide. Mm-hmm. They had to stay here because I guess they weren't, I don't want to say worthy enough, but they had to continue to keep spreading this. I don't know what you, this cult, I guess. But right. They wanted to keep spreading like this whole thing. So I did, like, there is at the bottom where you can email them. And I did, I was like, you know, I kind of made it sound good because again, I wanted a response because I was curious.
When did you email?
I did it today.
So I wouldn't be surprised if you get a response.
If I get a response, like I'm so going to share so another show.
Just be
like,
careful though, because you never know. I mean, you, of course you will be, but.
No, oh I God. Mean, here's the thing. The good thing about that is it doesn't ask for your home number.
Your
home address, your cell number, or anything like that. I kind of just like, you know, I was reading through this and, you know, it's something on the order of, you know, I kind of made it sound like I really cared about their beliefs. And the only reason I did that is because I really kind of want to start picking. And I know I shouldn't do that, but I'm curious.
But it's, yeah, curiosity. And then, because we only have an hour, we want to do a part two on this. So they also believed that evolution on other planets would evolve once they reached the next level.
Right.
They felt, like I said, that Jesus was an extraterrestrial that boarded a spaceship after he rose from the dead. That was their belief. And so Applewhite felt that every two millennia, humans were granted an opportunity to reach that next level. And he felt, okay, the early 90s would provide this opportunity. So James Brown, hi, James. Nice to see you there. So James is a good friend of mine from Washington. So he says, I wonder who is paying to keep the website up. I don't know. Maybe it's those two that are keeping it up. I don't know. And then I'm just now seeing some of the questions. Ashley said, I know this is silly, but it's actually not. It's good that you pointed this out. I know this is silly, but did they dabble in drugs? Now, they said they didn't, to my knowledge, but you have to wonder. Well, they did when they died, of course.
Yes, they did. I mean, with like applesauce and chocolate.
Right, butter. Right, exactly. It's a concoction of phenobarbital mixed with applesauce, and then they chased it with vodka. I mean, so he convinced these 39, I think it was 39 members, men and women, mm-hmm. to essentially kill themselves. And what's ironic as heck, and I actually have a quote here. Let me find it. Let's see here. Oh my gosh. So on their website, you probably saw this on their website. Ironically, they have an article on there it's their statement against suicide.
Yeah.
And so it says, quote, the true meaning of suicide is to turn against the next level that is being offered. These days, we are focused on two primary tasks. One, of making a last attempt at telling the truth about how the next level may be, parentheses, our last effort at offering to individuals of this civilization the way to avoid suicide, and two, taking advantage of the rare opportunity we have each day to work individually on our personal overcoming and change in preparation for entering the kingdom of heaven. So they felt that what they were doing was absolutely not suicide. So this tells you how warped their minds were.
Okay. But if we go back, these guys were like the people that he recruited. Okay. They were intelligent.
They some were them, so, highly I mean, educated.
Yes, exactly. Some of them, one of them had a trust fund.
Yep.
So, and then there was some that, I think there was one girl that joined at like 16.
Mm-hmm, I think so too. Very young age.
Yes. And she couldn't talk for 4 years. Which in itself was a little bizarre. But I going back to like the whole having to give blood. I mean, they have to, cause somebody did, put it in I wonder who's paying to keep the website up.
That's a good question. Yeah. I'm wondering who is too. It must be those, the lasting members. Bill says, didn't the Mayan calendar predict a resetting of the human race? And I believe it did. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's, you mentioned too, we have to take a break in a minute, but you mentioned too, highly educated and very intelligent. And it's funny, I found an article according to psychologist Steve Eichel, I think is how you pronounce his name. He said that cults typically look for individuals who possess idealistic and optimistic traits. These are passionate people who desire to self-improve and live a more fulfilling life. And so these are the common themes running through all of this, all of us pretty much. Mm-hmm. We all want to like self-improve, right? So I guess a 2017 study of former cult followers discovered that 61% had more than 12 years of education. And then when, like you said, when you read about Heaven's Gate, they were very highly educated. One of them, I forget his name, but his sister was an actress in Star Trek.
Yes, I've seen that.
I mean, like, you know, I mean, just I wonder how she feels to this. So, but anyways, we have to take a quick break. Of course, you're tuning into the Afterlife Chronicles here on the WLTKDB network. And joining me tonight is Renia Rodriguez, of course, and we will be right back. So stay tuned, guys. Gotta have some water here.
Diet Renee, psychic medium. All of us have questions about our lives, our loved ones, our futures. Diet Renee is here to help answer those difficult questions. Diet excels at working with spirit and is a certified psychic medium through LWISSD. She is a master teacher and well-versed in the spirit world. Look, don't trust just any psychic with your deepest thoughts and worries. Trust Diet Renee, as she will deliver her very best for you. General readings, past loved ones, finances, your future. Contact Diet now on her website, DietRenee.com. That's DietRenee.com.
Minutes past the hour. You're tuning back into the Afterlife Chronicles here on the WLTKDB network. Joining me tonight is Rini Rodriguez. Of course, you can follow the show at WLTKDB, the handle, just anywhere. We're all over the place. Facebook, Twitch, YouTube, LinkedIn, just with that handle, WLTKDB. You can follow the Afterlife Chronicles on its Facebook page at Afterlife Chronicles and beyond. And of course, afterlifechronicles.podbean.com. So tonight's episode is all about the Heaven's Gate cult that was the, I guess, product, I'm not making myself clear here, but sadly eclipsed into a mass suicide in 1997. And so we've been talking about the cult and the origins a little bit and some of their beliefs. And one other thing I wanted to mention too is that Applewhite believed that there were malevolent aliens known as Luciferians that desired to destroy him and his mission. And it was during this time that he discussed how the earth was an overgrown garden and would soon recycle. So this to me screams schizophrenia, psychosis, all of that. You know, and it, another thing too, things got worse for him after Bonnie's death. It seems as though he didn't know where to go or where to turn. And I read that one of Bonnie's daughters did not know that she died from brain cancer until months later because he didn't tell her. And she was only a few hours away.
Right. Okay. Cause here's the thing. I know when it came to like contacting their loved ones, it seems like when they were making these phone calls to, parents or any of their loved ones, they would do it while they weren't home so they could just leave a message on their machines. And that in itself is a little bizarre because then, you know, then they're not being questioned.
They're not, exactly.
So that in itself seems a little weird. And they're like, oh, we're here because of our own free will. And, you know, I think I did ask you, I know that there was a couple of people that left, but I couldn't find anything on how they left. You know, that was one, like I sat and Googled for a while,
and, like live on there with this.
Well, and you know, it's fascinating because, like I said, you know, I sat and watched. I couldn't. His eyes. Okay, like I know maybe you guys should all just go watch it and like just listening to him speak. And his eyes are so big. And I know that I read someplace that he had a thyroid problem, is why his eyes were like that big.
And I didn't know that. So that's good that you pointed that out.
Right. And so, like I said, and I know that you said like he might have had schizophrenia. And that's a good one too. But like I said, he's very good with his words. I mean, I know you watched it and you're probably like, oh, I don't know.
I mean, you can tell that he's not well, but yet he's this intelligent, eloquent speaker. And it's just baffling. And I think one psychologist pointed out that I think one of the reasons why it's so interesting is that Applewhite, or Doe, if you will, didn't force people to stay in the cult, like, for example, Jim Jones or David Koresh of the Branch Davidians. So that's interesting to me. But I think he did so in a very subliminal way. It wasn't like in an overt, like, you know, threatening way, but he did so, but it was underlying, I think. But I think if you read or if you watch the exit statements that a lot of the students made before the mass suicide, you can tell that they all want that sense of belonging and they all want to, I guess, foster their spirituality. Like that's a common theme. So they found something in him. They just weren't happy with their lives and wanted to disassociate everything. And, you know, that I think that's one of the reasons why we're so fascinated, because we want to understand the psychology behind it. But like, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, here's the thing. Like, I know that a lot of people will say, okay, well, again, I watched the statements myself and they all seem very happy. And then I thought, okay, what, I mean, you could be happy in anything that you do. Okay. Whether it be church or whatever. Okay. Whatever you want to do. That's on them. But I guess to me, it was kind of like, I don't know. It's hard to answer that.
It really is. I know.
Because like I said, they were kind of able to leave in a way. I guess. But at any point you would say, okay, these people are highly educated people. Okay. They're not, their IQ is probably, they probably have to be way up there, because like I said, I've seen some of their exit statements and I'm like, oh my gosh, this guy really knows what he's talking about. Like, exactly. This guy's way smarter than I am. And he knew exactly what he wanted. And he was very confident in what he was saying. And how many of us can actually be that way, especially in something that they, like a religion, like nobody is that confident in that. And they can say, okay, well, but I am, but you're not.
Right. And I want to get to a couple of the exit statement. I mean, just snippets from these exit statements, but just because people probably want to hear about the mass suicide. So as a group, they all went to a Marie Callender's, which I've been to. It's off the 5 in Palomar Airport Road in Carlsbad. And they, I guess, ordered beforehand. And so they had a salad with, I think, some sort of French vinaigrette. They had turkey pot pie, blueberry cheesecake, and iced tea. And so then I think it was between the 21st and the 24th, around there, they died in shifts with that lethal concoction of phenobarbital and applesauce. So when they were found to have purple shroud. They were dressed in one, like in the same attire, a black pants and a black like suit, like top, with a badge that said Heaven's Gate Away Team. And so they were found with purple shrouds over their torsos and bodies. And then all but two people had plastic bags over their heads. They also had a passport and the $5.75. Now I thought, now why would they need that? So I read that apparently, well, it was actually, according to the book Weird California, your travel guide to California's local legends and best kept secrets. So this just mind. So there was a 1907 story by Mark Twain called Extract from Captain Stormfield's Trip to Heaven. So he's the protagonist in the story, and he departs for, quote, an extended excursion among the heavenly bodies on the rear of a comet, taking with him a passport and $5.75.
But they also had their bags packed. They had
exactly.
their bags packed. What were you going to take with you? What was in those duffel bags? The
rest of your gloves? It's so, I know, it's so bizarre. I just.
What would you need a passport for to get on a UFO? What do you need money for? What were you buying?
I know, but this is, it just baffles my mind. And it's almost like they mixed a bunch of biblical scriptures, mm-hmm. ufology, astrology, paranormal, theosophy, all of that. And they mixed it. And then they added their own element of just warped imagination. And it all blended in together to create this. It's crazy.
But okay, this is where I'm having the issue, I guess. Just me. There's all these biblical, I mean, you could, the verses, okay, I'm not even, I guess I was getting a little worked up about this. There's all these verses in the Bible, okay, and they have them on the website.
They do.
Okay, now, we're talking about highly educated people. Now, you could easily go look up those verses, and you would think, okay, now this isn't making sense.
Right.
Now, I'm pretty sure if some of them grew up in a religious background, okay, they could, or just maybe anything in the paranormal or whatever, you know, because that's such a umbrella of things there. But I guess you would think that common sense would like kick in and say, I don't think so.
Let
me pick up my Bible and let me look this up, because it's like, it's only certain scriptures.
It is. It's almost, there's where that nation comes in, I think. And so they just, I mean, some psychologists feel that they weren't under any sort of mind control or they weren't brainwashed. I think that it's very possible that they were, and they were all vulnerable. They were all in these vulnerable states for whatever reason. And that too caused them to just, I guess, find more truth in Tien Do's teachings. But it's just crazy how people of just sound mind can get duped by all this. It's just insane.
I mean, the thing of the matter is again, what did you need the money for? A passport? I mean, I get that they're leaving the country,
mm-hmm.
but I don't think you're going to need a passport to get on a UFO.
I know.
Honestly. It's not like, I need to stamp that passport real quick to make sure that you can get on here. I mean, it's not a joke. I mean, I get that full-heartedly, but it, to me, doesn't make sense. What do you need money for?
Maybe it was like a metaphorical thing. I don't know, but I want to get to some of these exit statements, and there's so many of them, but of course, remember that they were given musical names, right? Mm-hmm. Ending in O-D-Y. So one of the individuals, it's Sarody. So S-R-R-O-D-Y. He says this, and their exit statements are a few minutes long each. He says, just about anything that would be of significance to you already on Heaven's Gate. Although he mentioned that it's silly, he urged viewers to read or watch anything related to the cult. And so at one point, he's trying to convince himself of what he's saying and even questions at one point if it was okay that he mentioned it. See, to me, that's a sign of being brainwashed.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just, you're Sodi going on. She says, what we're about to do is nothing to think negatively about. We're all choosing of our own free will to go to the next level with Tien Do. Well, did she really voluntarily believe that this was a free will, or was she in some way coerced to think that? And so, I mean, to me, this just still demonstrates the victimization by Do's principles. And so throughout her exit statement, she's constantly like pledging allegiance to him, you know, just placing him on pedestals. It's just so sad.
But there was an exit statement.
I don't know if it's the one that I have.
I don't think it is. And he was talking, maybe it is, but he was talking about, like, I'm not sure if I'm allowed to say this. I'm not sure if I'm allowed to say this.
I remember that one.
He kept repeating that. And I thought, well, why aren't you? It's your exit statement.
Right. I mean, they were so regimented. It's unbelievable. I mean, going on to Stody, he says, suffice to say, when I heard the information, I was overwhelmed. And this is the individual that was the brother of the actress on Star Trek. So he goes on to say that Tiendo's teachings really resonated with him on a spiritual level. And so you can tell that when he was giving his exit statement that he wanted that greater sense of spirituality and the meaning of life, that vulnerability again. And then he said, this whole joining of this group was, quote, an opportunity and a gift. I mean, this is a smart, these are all smart, like you said, just smart individuals. Just, I can't.
It doesn't make sense.
It doesn't. And then, so go two more here. Melody, she says, what's weird about this is she said, she describes what a cult is at the beginning of her exit statement, but then she said, well, Heaven's Gate is nothing like that. So again, that shows me, you know, just the warped thinking and the brainwashing. And then she said, I think everyone in this class wanted something more than what the world could offer. They were seeking some type of rightness or some type of goodness that they did not feel in the world. So there you go. Okay, so they're not content with their normal lives and they wanted to just disassociate from that. It's just so sad. I don't know if there's some that you read that you or listened to that you want to mention, but there's just, I just wrote down a few. They're all the same.
They pretty much are all the same. Like I said, the one that stood out to me the most, I'm going to have to go back now because it's going to irritate me what his name was. But he did, like I said, that was the one that really stood out the most. Mm-hmm. He's like, I hope I can say this. Yeah. Well, if you're going to, you know, like I said, if you're there you have free will, what are you not saying? What do you want to say?
Right, right. Exactly. And it's, you know, you just reminded me, there's a video where it shows Doe talking to the class and then he introduces all of the students wearing their uniforms with that mm-hmm. badge, Heaven's Gate Away Team. And he talks to them like they're little kids. Mm-hmm. Like there was one part where it goes on one of the women, the camera goes on one of the women and she was kind of looking away and he's like, look at the camera. I'm like, why are you talking to her like she's 5 years old? I mean,
like I said, I know that there was like a set of rules in that house.
Sorry, but God.
I don't know. Cause I was like, I heard the same thing. And like I said, I kind of rewinded it again. I'm like, no, he didn't. But, I mean,
and then, I'm sorry. I don't mean to laugh, but, and then there's another individual where, gosh, who was it? Where, oh my gosh, I'm blanking on this. Oh, let me see if I can remember. It was in that same video. Oh, yeah, it was one of the men that he was introducing. He's like, well, so and so can't admit that to me because I'm the teacher. So, you know, oh, you're my students and I'm your disciple. I'm the all-knowing prophet and you're my students vibe.
Well,
I don't know if you remember that part.
Yes, I do remember that part.
Oh
but
my
it's not funny. I can't. I mean, like there was a couple that I couldn't wrap my head around. But what I found really, really fascinating, just because we did talk about his, you know, about him getting fired because, you know, he was having relations with a man or a young man, whatever. But I did read that he convinced like three of them to go get castrated in Mexico.
Yes, I read that too.
Because he did not believe that they should. That was not something that they, that was a no-no.
That yeah, was a big no-no. I remember reading that too. They wanted just, they didn't even want, he didn't want them to associate with their sexuality anymore. Yeah. Get rid of family, get rid of your life, yep. Get rid of work, get rid of making money, get rid of sexuality. Anything relating to being human mm-hmm. was to be shed. Alodi. Now, this one really fascinated me. So he says, okay, so throughout his statement, you can tell that he separated himself from what he once was. He says, referring to his body as a vehicle, because that's what they refer to the human body as, vehicles. So he says, this vehicle knew that it did not fit into this world. The theme, so again, that theme of vulnerability. He says that he, as a kid, had these beliefs in aliens, little people he called aliens. And even as an adult, he tried to find the meaning of it. And so then he found Heaven's Gate. And then it was like, wow, this is the perfect opportunity to answer all my questions about my childhood, you know, curiosities. And then he said, the little people I had been looking for had come to take me home. So again, I think there's that mixing that imagination and with the teachings that he was, you know, subjected to.
Oh yeah. There was no.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, it leaves you speechless. You just try to want to wrap your mind around it. And it's just, I want to know like what their thoughts were. And I want to know the why and the hows and, you know, why did they join at the time they did? And, you know, what were their lives like, you know, and it's, yeah.
But they, like I said, like, from what I'm understanding, they were like these people. They wanted, okay, exactly what everybody else wants while they're here.
Exactly.
A better life.
Which is normal.
We all do. We could all, you know, we could all say, oh, well. But at the same time, I don't think I want to know how he convinced them that a spaceship. Okay, like I said, they are very intelligent people. And that is one thing that I will never be able to wrap my head around. And I think that's why I emailed them. Not that they're going to give me an outright response. But what would convince them that an alien ship, I mean, I know that they were into astrology and all that, but what would convince them an UFO is going to come down and take them? And what makes them so much special than the rest of us?
I know. It's insane. One more. So Tadodi says, I'm no longer satisfied or fulfilled by any human pursuit, indulgence, or activity. He says, I've tried it all, and there's nothing on this planet worthwhile or of any interest to me. So there you go. Maybe there's some depression in here. Maybe there's that yearning to escape reality. Mm-hmm. This, you see it. You see the vulnerability in every single exit statement.
I mean, do you think all of them suffered from depression?
I think to an extent they probably did. I mean, obviously they weren't happy with their normal lives and they were susceptible to being duped by this man, by this individual. And I do have a quote. I know we have to take a break in a couple of minutes, but let's see. Let me find it. Okay. This is what's interesting to me. So Hank Hanegraaff, if I'm spelling his name wrong, he's of the Christian Research Institute. And so he felt that Applewhite was the quintessential spiritual con artist. So he says, listen to this. He says, so often they follow a leader, the followers, they follow a leader who is presenting them the skin of the truth stuffed with a deadly lie. I don't think that there is a more classic current case than that of Herf Applewhite, when he told them that they had been impregnated with an alien spirit and that's why his message resonated with them. They were immediately willing to follow the seductive siren call of the cult leader. In this case, but right to their deaths. That's brilliantly said. I mean, you know, Russ Bailey. Hi, Russ. He just joined. Bill says, okay, do you think they were intelligent enough to use subliminal messages in their teachings and videos?
Yes.
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 I mean, we're all like, yeah, you know.
And I'm telling you, because like I said, if you were to sit and watch him, it's very intriguing. Very, very intriguing. Like, I couldn't stop watching. Like, I felt like I was in like some sort of hypnosis. Like, mm-hmm. And I know that sounds weird.
No, it doesn't.
I couldn't stop listening to him.
I know. And it's, you know, it's funny. I read some of the comments and some people are like, because ASMR is such a big thing now. Some people are like, gosh, this just pop this guy on at night and, you know, you'll fall asleep because of ASMR. And it's true. It's crazy. But we have to take our second break. You're tuning into the Afterlife Chronicles. Joining me tonight is Renee Rodriguez. We'll be right back, folks.
Meet Nicole Strickland, one of the leading San Diego paranormal researchers. Nicole offers a gentle and humble approach to working with spirit energies. Being the founder of the San Diego Paranormal Research Society, Nicole is no stranger to the unknown. Due to Nicole's vast knowledge of the paranormal, she is widely sought after for speaking engagements on topics like Children of the Paranormal, Paranormal Investigation 101 and 102, History of Spiritualism, and more. Not only does Nicole research the afterlife, but also writes about it, and is the author of several books pertaining to the paranormal and its history. She has appeared on television shows like My Ghost Story, Travel Channel's Famously Afraid, Good Morning San Diego, and more. Have a conference or event coming up? Contact Nicole on her website, authornicolestrickland.com. That's authornicolestrickland.com.
Forty-seven minutes past the hour. You're tuning back into the Afterlife Chronicles here on the WLTKDB network. If you've missed the first half or the majority of the show, it will be archived for you. Of course, joining me tonight is Renee Rodriguez, host of Realm of Darkness and Secrets Within. So we've been talking about the Heaven's Gate cult, which ended in the mass suicide on March 26, 1997, in Rancho Santa Fe, an upscale area of San Diego. And I live about 25 minutes away from that community. And I've actually been, like I said at the beginning of the episode, I actually have traveled to where the former mansion was. So there's a new home built on the property there. And it does leave you with very strange vibes. So we were talking a little bit before the break about, you know, the psychology of the cult, mm-hmm. and all of that, and, you know, why these people that had, you know, loving families, loving friends, secure jobs, why they chose this path. And there's so many theories, but I mean, you can kind of, you know, think about the reasons why, but yet there's always that elusive, like, wait, what? Like, what? Was that one motivating factor, you know?
And like I said, I've thought about that myself. I'm like, what would make somebody believe what they believed? Right. And like I said, I did go to their website because I was like, okay, maybe that'll give me a little bit more insight. And it really doesn't.
It doesn't. And the way things are written is very odd, because Doe did a lot of the writings on that website, but some, yes, of the members did as well. And the way that it's almost written in a very archaic way of talking. Did you notice that?
I did. But I think, if I'm not mistaken, because I was trying to go through so much, there's like so much information on it.
I know.
And if I'm not mistaken, he went ahead and he started his mission statement.
Yeah.
I think that was like the first... I think there was like five or six, like you could just kind of go down the list about who they are, kind of their teachings in a way. But the whole thing was bizarre.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very flashy.
It is.
It's kind of catchy, very flashy. In a weird way too. Like,
right,
that you would stumble upon, like, ooh, this is interesting. And I did notice that, but it is a long, I mean, it's
very bright. It's like you said, very flashy. And a lot, mm-hmm, of these people were computer programmers and computer engineers. So at that time, that for a 90s website, it looks pretty good. the logo I shared on my social mm-hmm. media channels for tonight's episode. I mean, that's actually a pretty darn good logo for the 90s, you know? So these guys were talented.
They were. And like I said, I know we did talk about like how these guys, how the people were very intelligent people. And that I think in itself, like to me, makes it a little bizarre.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know, we're not talking about just, you know, like Jim Jones or anything like that.
Right.
We're talking
right.
about intelligent people. And then on top of it, the fact that they were, you know, having to sell blood, some of them had to go get jobs. And I know that he kind of picked and chose who he wanted. Cause I know that we talked about that a little bit. Where at one point I read that he actually gave them bus tickets because he's like, they're not going to work for me. They're not good enough for this. And then I know some of them, when he thought, okay, I'll keep them around, he would just kind of like send them out looking for food.
Exactly. I remember that. Yeah. I mean, there's so many contradictions in the things he would say. And I think too, another reason why it's so interesting, cults in general, is a lot of the mentality mirrors that of regular life. You know, we have to follow rules in life. We desire to grow and evolve. We have to learn to deal with peer pressure. We want that mm-hmm. sense of belonging. So in a way, it's similar to real life, but just in a very distorted way.
Like I said, I do have to agree with you, but to this day, it's still a mystery why their bags were packed. They wanted, they took money. They had a passport. And then, like I said, and I know Ashley brought up, were drugs involved? There was something in there, putting applesauce, and then they knew that they mixed it with vodka. It was deadly. It was deadly.
Exactly. Bill says, hypnotic trance of the masses worked for a man named Adolf Hitler. How and why does, in parentheses, can it work? You know, it's just, yeah, it's insane. And
I think sometimes you just think you're good. They're good with their words.
Exactly. That charismatic way mm-hmm. of getting you to draw you in. And who's going to get drawn in? Those vulnerable, naive, gullible individuals, sadly.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
That have very high IQs and very high intelligence. Actually, I remember reading one ex-follower described meeting Applewhite for the first time, and he said he had quote fear and awe upon meeting mm-hmm. him for the first time. So see, there you go. So this quote is fun too. So in the book The Devil at Heaven's Gate, Rethinking the Study of Religion in the Age of Cyberspace, author Hugh Urban asserts that Applewhite's life exhibited quote the intense ambivalence and alienation shared by many individuals lost in the 20th century capitalist society. I thought that kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, we could do it. Like I could do a series on this. Like there's just so much more to dig into with it. I mean, cults in general.
Well, like I said, I did email them. You know me, I have to push that boundary.
What exactly did, if you don't mind, what exactly did you say?
Let's see if I can pull it up.
You were brave, girl. My goodness.
Well, I mean, I was curious, and all I just said was, I stumbled upon your website. Let me see if I get, but I do know I said, I stumbled upon your website, and I was interested, like, in your teachings. Can I have a little bit more information? Okay. Or is there a phone number where you could be contacted? Right. Maybe I shouldn't be contacting them from my phone number, but I am curious, like, if I get a response.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if you do get a response. Let me know. But it's just, you know, it leaves you with that kind of really disturbed, sick feeling. And it's so sad that these individuals died in the way that they did. But, you know, at the time they hopefully felt that what they were doing was good and that they wanted to, hopefully. You never know exactly what they were going through. But we find cult mentality just so fascinating. I mean, I'm not going to go out and join one. My God, no. But, you know, it's just, oh my gosh, it's just so fascinating.
Well, I'm not coming to save you though if you decide you're going to join one.
No, that no way. Are you kidding me? No way. But it's just the psychology behind it is what's, mm-hmm. what's so fascinating. And I actually wrote, it's an article, not a blog, and I intended it to be like 1,000 words, and it ended up being like 4,200 words. I have it on my website, authorNicoleStrickland.com. If you go into the blogs and articles section, you can find it there, and it talks a little bit about the origins of the cult, the history of the cult, the suicide, and then like what we're discussing tonight, the psychology behind it. And I wanted to read, just to end on something respectful for them, just because they were human beings. I wanted to read the last paragraph of that article. So I said, amidst the craziness of cults and their uncanny ability at brainwashing mind control, we do need to remind ourselves that the victims of these so-called groups were human beings tricked into something they felt was beneficial. The Heaven's Gate crew all believed in a superior way of life beyond the stars. We can't fault them for that. They were decent people beloved by their family and friends. As a communal society, we can try to fathom their principles without dismissing them. Perhaps their deaths have given us a deeper glimpse into the lives and a deeper awareness of their motivations. Maybe that's their collective legacy, a timeless existence that lets humanity unlock the psychological secrets of cult temperament. Let's hope that they've all found eternal peace and the answers they were striving for in life on Earth. So just insane. I mean, we could do a whole nother part two on this because I'm still researching it. There's a ton of articles on it.
There is. And like I said, there's a documentary on it that I haven't gotten to because I was waiting the interviews and stuff like that. That's a lot to get through.
It is. There's some free ones on YouTube, but I think the new one, is it on Netflix? I think it's on, is it Netflix or Apple or Hulu?
I thought it was on Netflix.
Yeah, it was too. I think it's called Heaven's Gate, The Cult of Cults. I think it's Applewhite on there, one of his older photos. Mm-hmm. But that's one I definitely want to definitely watch. But we only have a couple of minutes left in the show. I wanted to leave time for you to get out. I mean, most people listening know about your shows, but in case there's a few that don't, give us a little glimpse on your two shows on the network, which I love. They're fantastic.
Realm of Darkness. We do true crime. Sometimes we are way off topic on anybody.
I love it though.
Know that we are always off topic when with a case. And, Secrets Within, I'm doing every other Friday now. And that's when we talk paranormal. And I know that right now I am not going to be on tomorrow, but I'll be on next week. I'm actually working on the Woodstock, Vermont vampire stories.
Ooh.
I know. I'm so excited for that.
Is that going to be a series or just a one-time episode?
I kind of want to make it into a series.
Right on.
So I'm, you know, been working really hard on that. But, like I said, Ashley and I have a great time on Secrets, or not Secrets Within. Last week.
You guys are so good together. I love it.
Like I said, she's a great friend of mine. I love her to death. And like I said, we're just on right before you. And we were talking about the Alaskan Avenger. And I know we were kind of making a joke, but
that was a good show. It was a really good show.
We tried. There's, you know, but like I said, we always enjoy listening to you, and I really want to thank you. And I know that I kind of went all over the place on your show.
No, that's like, the good. I love that. I love that.
Because I know like you had like a strict thing, and I was trying to study it. I'm like, no, but what about this? And what about this? And I'm like, maybe.
Right. No, you know? It was just a guide. It wasn't because I knew we were going to discuss. I just didn't want to forget anything. So the notes were kind of so I didn't forget anything really. So.
Well, like I said, sometimes I'm a little scatterbrained just trying to get everything out.
Me too. I'm like, the same way.
Like, no, wait, I forgot about this.
But
that's really what we've been doing. And like I said, I enjoy Realm of Darkness. And, you know, like I said, last week we had, Keith Linder on. We were talking about poltergeist activity on Secrets Within. Ashley, of course, was my guest co-host always. So, yes, that's what I've been doing. So here we are. So, and like I said, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Of course. I mean, this is, we can do a part two sometime. I've probably said that like five times so far, but it was a good episode. Of course, it'll be archived, of course, on all the audio listening platforms. And of course, on my Podbean page, afterlifechronicles.podbean.com. Thank you so much, Rini, for joining me tonight. Next week, I have, let's see here, Ellie Molina. And then the 14th is Kimberly McGeorge, and then Joey and Tanya Medea on the 21st. So a lot of good guests coming up. Thanks, guys, for tuning in tonight. I hope you guys all have a wonderful weekend, and we will see you next week. And of course, here at the Afterlife Chronicles, we are bridging the gap between the afterlife and mortality, one experience at a time. Good night. See you next week.